Like, I made over $40,000 off $600. $600.
Oh my God.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Like, I made over $40,000 off $600.
What you dream? Yeah. Sapphire Bombay, only what you think. Yeah. Looks like we'll be tied up for some weeks. Yeah. Lockdown, can't see nowhere. Top down, but we rolling. We all in. What you dream? Yeah. Sapphire Bombay, only what you think. Yeah. Looks like we'll be tied up for some weeks. Yeah. Lockdown, can't see no end. Top down, but we pouring. We all in. I'm taking it slow. Ain't no time for no hold up. I thrust in it slow. Then the whoopee throw up. Bust a cloud like a bomb. Yeah, I'm a performer. Isolate me in the world.
Welcome to the season finale. Per my last podcast, we've made it through a full season. We appreciate all the freaking support up until this point because this has been stressful. You know, I said that with a C.
I love it.
But yeah, we love it here. This has been an amazing journey, and we're gonna keep it going. But definitely wanted to get some intros in. We got a special guest for you,
yes sir,
mother suckers today. But before we get into that, right, let me introduce myself. For those who don't know me, all the viewers out there in the world, podcast Poppy on Instagram, make sure you follow me. Khalil Simmons, host and founder of this amazing podcast we got going on. And I'm going to pass to my good brother.
I don't need to say as much as you did. but we're in the finale. So appreciate you all tuning in. Episode 4, I'm Yoshi Haney. And you can find me on Instagram as well as Yoshi Haney, co-host, co-founder, and helping produce what is Per My Last. And we're here for
lifting as you climb, man. Right? The importance of mentorship, because I think it goes understated how important it is to be, once you arrive and once you've reached that pinnacle of success, how important it is to bring those people with you. Right? Once you get to the table. Are you pulling back those seats for others, right? So we're gonna dive deep into that today. We got a lot to say, you know, from our experiences being mentors, being mentees, and then also with our, you know, like I said, we got a special brother on the show today that I think he literally embodies lifting as you climb. You know, we met him doing a mentorship session at Roosevelt University, and his energy was just so contagious. You're like, bro, you gotta come on. So without further ado, my good brothers, Simeon. what's to it, brother?
What's going on, man? I appreciate y'all having me here, man.
We appreciate you.
We're in the presence of greatness right now.
Honestly, man.
I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna receive that. Because I believe it can be that, but yeah, for sure, man. Thank you.
Now, listen, brother, look, we're big believers in giving you your flowers while you're here. And,
that's facts.
And
man. I'm smelling them.
Look, keep the nose open. Keep the nostrils. You.
You did. <damn.
laughs> But no, let's get into it. Because, the city of Chicago knows you, right? You tapped in the places that you need to be tapped into, but. For those out here in the world who don't know who you are, who is Simeon? You know?
So, Simeon Deal. I'm born and raised in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm a barber by trade, and I like to always say that I'm a people person at heart. So, me using my platform as a barber has extended an opportunity for me to meet some great people. Mm-hmm. Those great people have extended great opportunities to me, and I feel like me being obedient and conscious of those moments and those people, those times, kind of got me to where I am. So I just appreciate being in rooms with people like yourselves. Mm-hmm. We met at BMLA, Black Male Leadership Academy. We sat on a panel, and it was just good for me to see some young brothers who had something to offer, understood their value, and knew how to present it and project it. So, yeah, I look at us the same. We all do different stuff, but there's a commonality. There's a common chord that we kind of all strike, and I feel like that's what got us here. So, just a barber who kind of has a few ideas mm-hmm. about kind of bringing people together and me just using my platform and standing behind the chair to kind of make that mean something.
I love that. I love
energy, that. Right? I mean, I think the thing that attracts us is energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm huge on energy, right? Mm-hmm. When you meet somebody, you can tell that within the first few seconds, right? Mm-hmm. What they're bringing to the table, who they are, and how they receive others, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of times we're focused on us, mm-hmm. right? Like what we're trying to put out, focus me. But I think what struck us off rip, right? To be in a room where, of course, we're lifting as we climb, mm-hmm. but to see you break that down, right? And to break
instantly.
And the energy that you bring to the table is really why we have you at this
at this table.
I appreciate that.
It's nice oak wood we got right there.
So why don't we get into the
let's get into it. You know, one thing that we always gonna do here on Per My Last the podcast, we gonna get behind the drip. And brother, you're looking like you got a, you brought a puddle in with you. So let's
it's
hear
still
something.
Puddle, though.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I seen it. We had a caution sign at the door.
That's for funny.
You. But let's give us a little inspiration behind the fit. You know. How your style kinda...
He needs to go last. You need to go first.
Me?
Well,
I ain't got nothing on, you know what I'm saying? I got nothing.
Putting on for the city.
You know what I'm saying? I'm always, look, Devin Hester, of course, you know, Hall of Famer.
Legend.
If you're from Chicago, you know what time it is.
You know. Absolutely.
So I had to shout it out. We in Chicago. We are at one of the coolest, coldest art galleries in the city. So I'm like, yeah,
3262 for sure.
You feel me? 3262. I had to put on my Devin Hester. I got on some Supreme North Face collab. You know,
I feel you on Supreme.
Hey, look,
Supreme
moment. You know what I'm saying?
Supreme gas.
Top tier. Sponsor us. But you know, Supreme North Face. Got my little pure monies. You know, you just get to do one of them.
click three times.
Right. Quickly. Yeah. Quick
for money.
Click three times and make the drip appeal. You know what I'm saying? So I got my pure monies on, and then just jewelry showing. You know, if anybody knows me, I am. I like to express myself.
What you about to say?
It will be a little flashy sometimes. So you know, I was coming with the vibes. I knew you. I knew you was gonna come on today. So I was like, I have to match the energy.
Hey, before going back to where we met, you kind of know like what type of people you come in the room with by how they present themselves. I said these brothers clean. I want to know more about them.
Yeah,
like, let's see what's going on here.
Hey, look, presentation is everything. I always believe
it is.
So,
it is.
Yosh, don't sit here and be humble, right? Let them know.
Just, you know, real simple.
And he's still going to try to be humble.
I just said don't.
Real clean. You know, we like to be clean with it.
The facts.
And, you know, maroon, crimson, if you would, mm-hmm. suit. Very classic. You know, I got on my brother, Mr. Suitable. Check that out, Mr. Suitable's. Accessories, mm-hmm. the ice cap socks. And just some
ice cap where my heart used to be.
Where his socks used to be.
Right.
That's right. But we really about you.
Right. So look, because I ain't gonna lie, you know, we had a lot of conversations off the camera, and I've been complimenting the drip since I seen you.
Appreciate it.
I'm like, brother,
appreciate it.
Talk to us.
Like, what's going on?
So I like to think the way I dress is a direct reflection of how I feel for the day. Mm-hmm. And like the things I went to, I'm into. So if it's not telling a story about me directly, I want to tell the story about somebody else, mm-hmm. like in what I wear. So Supreme is kind of culture. It's hype. Mm-hmm. I think it tells a story of like where I am and how I kind of show up. I want to be relevant. I want to be able to relate. But it's also what I like. So if you know anything about Supreme, it's a lot of limited or one-off type of things. Mm-hmm. So finding this hat was unique.
Tough.
With the clear brim.
Mm-hmm. I've not seen that.
Like, you can see through it. I knew it would be something that would be unique and different, and that's mm-hmm. always me. Like, I always, like, when my friend, I might ask one of the homies or the young lady, like, what do you think I should go with? Should I go with this plain, like, classic, or should I go with this loud, like, statement joint? And they like, the statement joint, because that's you. Yeah. It don't work for everybody, but I found the way for it to kind of work for me. But I'll go down. So clear brim kind of made me think of clear acrylic.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Jesus piece by Christopher Kites. He's a Chicagoan. He's from the Hunnids. Mm-hmm. He's made just a mark in expressive jewelry, Acrylic Jury. He's like getting all type of rappers and entertainers to wear like Acrylic Jury with the with their, you know, their bust downs.
Right.
So I really appreciate that. He's been on the scene with all the designers and artists, and he's like making a name for himself. So for me to be able to support something homegrown, like I'm wearing this chain not to be flashy, but more so to make a statement about what's happening in Chicago. We got some good products here. We got, you know, good stock here, and I want to be able to wear this. Like, I wear this with pride because this is one of the little homies, like, coming up and doing his thing. So I felt like it kind of tied into the clear brim. Clear brim, clear chain, bracelet. I like jewelry. Usually, like I said, my stuff tells a story. So the ring is it's a Cuban link that I got from Bali. So if...
What's that?
Stop it.
Bali? No. Is that a store?
It's not a... It's the story that goes along with it. So if you want to know anything about me, you can find some anything that I got on. I'm going to give you a story.
Right.
The wax denim, the metallic wax denim from Denim by DeCarlos, another Chicago dude. So painted wax, hand-painted wax, and then YSL boots, like classic. Probably never going to go out of style. I'm going to wear them till I wear a hole in
the bottle of the joints.
Man, you feel me? So, kind of just eclectic style, give you something that your eye can catch. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it'll start a conversation. Even if it's just like, what were you thinking? Man, whatever, bro. I look like I feel. I feel like, you know what I'm saying?
Facts.
You giving that beer right
now. I appreciate it, bro. Giving that beer.
For sure.
Now, let's start the conversation, because that's what it's giving.
Oh, hey, you feel me? So, Let's get into just how we met. You kind of touched on it a little bit, BMLA.
Yeah.
Yoshi presented the opportunity to me. I wasn't familiar with BMLA, Black Men Leadership Association. I'm always looking for opportunities to kind of give back.
Yeah.
And, you know, he presented the opportunity to me. I'm like, I'm definitely there for sure. We get there, right? We thinking, you know, this panel, we're the youngest guys on the panel. And then you come through. I'm like, who is this guy? Like, right. Because I'm like, normally, and I like to look at myself as like, when I come in the room, you know, I'm there.
You
like,
coming through.
I'm loud. Like, you know, I definitely make sure my energy is felt.
Yeah.
And then we got a bunch of kids there. Like, I pride myself on making sure that I can relate. Like, that's why I always say, like, I'm getting older, but I'm still going to be young at heart forever, right?
Yeah.
But when I seen you come in, like, and how they gravitated towards you, like, so instantly, I'm like, bro, I have to know who this guy is. Like, we chop it up after we can get into that, but like let's go into like your connection with BMLA, how we all connected, and then you know how we got here today.
Yeah. So BMLA, I actually been connected to BMLA for the last 5 years. I've been doing the panel, and they keep on asking me back. It originally I had like a little imposter syndrome, like going to BMLA, like I wanted to know why they wanted me as a barber. Like, I'm a barber and I've accomplished a few things and been able to be in some cool rooms, but after doing one, like, why y'all want me to come back? And I realized it was the authenticity. And just being able to relate to the kids, I feel like was something that kind of brought me back. I've been able to do it over and over again. And I'm grateful for the opportunity, because sometimes you don't know your own strength or what you're able to give. Sometimes you still in the process of finding your power and your worth. And I think that has kind of helped reinforce my idea about myself and where my value is and like what I can offer. So being able to speak to kids and they just follow. I mean, for one, maybe just by the way I express myself through what I wear. I wore like everybody else on the panel got on suits, and I'll come in with some basketball shorts and some unreleased sneakers. Mm-hmm. So they
under the table. What the hell does this guy do?
Right. So, I mean, and then it's a statement piece. Mm-hmm. Like, I think of clothes like a statement piece. Once I, you know, made a statement, now we can have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to be tied in to what I'm talking about. And if I articulate myself well enough, you might be interested in what I really got going on, how I got there, how you can get there. And because I've been able to keep up relationships with those young men, past the panel lets me know that I'm doing something right, that I have some value to offer. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate that opportunity. So it was really cool for me to see some other young brothers, because it's usually like the super like well-established older gentlemen.
About
50. Yeah, and they close to retirement, and they giving you their highlight reels.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so impressed.
But for a kid, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it may seem a little out of reach for this person who's managing a $40 million hedge fund, and they love to see it, but sometimes they don't see like how I can get there. I would like to think I'm the in-between.
Facts.
So I aspire to those guys, and because the young guys see me looking at these guys and me understanding I can get there or close to, I think the young guys say, if I can get to where he is, then and he can get to where they is, then that means I can get to where the big homies are. Mm-hmm. So I love being in that place, man. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. A good homie of mine, one of my best friends, Marshall Wilder, Dr. Ford, they gave me an opportunity to sit on that panel. So every time I get a chance, I get excited.
Yeah.
And then to show the kids that I can go from basketball shorts to a suit, too. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's the time and place for everything.
Facts.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Now, like, when you hit on a lot of important things, I mean, and a lot of what I hear is your why, right? Like, because to come back time after time after time, there's got to be some sort of inspiration there.
Absolutely. Right?
There's got to be some, because most of the people, it's like, well, what am I going to get out of this opportunity? Mm-hmm. That's how we think, you know? But to be able to come to the table and say, well, how can I give back? Mm-hmm. Right. What is your why, and why is this important to you?
I'll probably say two things. For one, I realize as I've been maturing that the opportunities where you see yourself ahead of somebody else, or when you see yourself in position to teach somebody, a lot of times when you humble yourself and make yourself available, you end up learning a lot too. Mm-hmm. So what am I about to get? Not from the kids directly, but me offering myself. I know I'm going to learn something from these kids if I'm not just being inspired and reminded of how I started, where I was when I started. Like, I'm like, to get a charge to go further, like, I'm getting something from them. They don't have to give me anything directly, but I know I feel good when I'm able to offer some type of value. They understand it. It relates. And then I can go forward. And then I also know it's going to be some bum brothers on the panel too that I can draw off of, and I have an end to getting their contacts, to getting that resource, to getting that network. Just let me watch you, bro. Like, let me just see what you're doing. I'm not gonna ask you for nothing. You don't even have to tell me nothing, but just let me watch you. I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Access, like, accessibility is huge, and proximity is huge too.
Access.
Like, some of, bro, I never knew like what I can be as a barber. Like, sometimes we get fixated on the title. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we short ourselves when we compartmentalize what we do and who we are. So, like, as a barber, like, I have to kind of put the barber side. I like to minimize the barber part because I'm more than a barber. Like,
right.
That's the drive. That's the vehicle.
Skip LeBron. It's giving more than a barber.
It's got to be more than a barber, bro. It's because, look, I mean, why am I continuing to be, like, giving these opportunities to meet such great people? Mm-hmm. Like, now I'm wanting to know, so what am I supposed to do with that?
With this.
Like, how do I move on? So the why is, because it's a purpose. I got a purpose. I was meant to do something much more than just be a barber. Like, that's the end, but what am I supposed to do now that I've gained this position, this platform? So the why is, like, my purpose, like, living a purposeful life. And two, just being able to give back. Like, being able to show somebody what I wanted to see when I was younger. Like, I always looked up to male figures, and I wanted to put somebody in that position to aspire to be like, or just have a good example of, like, it can be done. So I want to provide that for somebody else, too.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Now, you touched on, you know, I know you tried to like humbly skip over it, right? You said, see, I'm just a barber. But for those who don't know, you know, I know you said you made some amazing connections and got presented some amazing opportunities.
Yeah, for sure.
Touch on that, you know, as your experience as a barber, like, how has that been able to connect you to all these amazing opportunities? What does that look like? And then how have you been able to translate that into all these other endeavors that you that you currently are in?
Yeah, so currently, my goal right now is to learn how to pivot. Mm-hmm. Like, knowing that, like, I've been able to attain some great connections and just see some stuff, get access. Now I'm learning that I have to do something with it. But right before that, it was the people, the inspiration. So the inspiration is the high-value people that come and sit in my chair. So from celebrities to dignitaries, like, I feel like for some reason you attract the type of person that you want to be around or the person that you are, which is fortifying for me too. So like I attract people with good energy. Hopefully that says something about me. But from all different walks of life, from a prominent pastor, Dr. Matthew Stevenson, who's building churches all over the country, a network all over the country. Like, he's building, like, crazy stuff.
Big boss.
Man.
Big boss.
The most. To, like, some of our favorites. The Derrick Roses, cut him for 4 years. Sure. To the Steph Curry, cut him. You know what I'm saying? Like, to the people you see on Shane Room, the G Herbos. Like,
you feel me?
Like, I found myself as a, yeah, and I'm trying to find the through point, and I figured out I'm the through point. You know what I'm saying? So, like, being authentic to who I am and being true to what I do, like, you attract people, and everything else kind of work itself out. So, from the passes to the dealers to the killers, like, I have all of them. And my greatest accomplishment is being able to create a safe environment or just a cool environment for all these people to have a commonality, and it's the barbershop. Like, everybody got to get their hair cut. So I try not to focus on just like, oh, I'm a celebrity barber, I cut these people. Like, I mean, it's some doctors and lawyers that come and sit in my chair that I'm more excited about than the athletes and the rappers.
Right.
Like, these people matter because my last client just saved somebody's life. You know what I'm saying? And my next client is gonna inspire somebody's life through their lyrics or through their play or whatever. So like, we all matter. And trying to get that through point of where value is and everybody actually has value is my job. Like, I gotta frame it. Like, that's my job, is to frame it. Like, cutting hair is just that's actually the trick. I'm really getting up on people. Like, I'm selling a haircut, but it's really like.
So I'm really getting so much more.
So it almost feels like robbery if I'm not sharing it with other people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I've gotten so much value, so why not share it? It's overflowing. Like, I can't keep it all to myself, so. Other people got to do something.
I mean, so most people don't think that way, though, right? It's like, no matter, I'm going to try and get as much that I can for everyone I'm going to look out for, right? And that's, in a way, you know, we think of it as a very selfish mentality because, I mean, I'm securing as much as I can for my people.
Yeah.
And my people usually are real, you know, close knit.
Circle tighter than Cheerio.
Oh my God, we're not tired of
this. Yep, I'm taking that and putting that one in my pile.
Circle tighter than a Cheerio, brother. Look,
but I mean, like, I think you touched on a lot of, you keep saying access.
Right? Access, like, that's probably one of the most important things to me. Like, as far as who I am socially, like, in the general terms, I need access. I give people plenty of access. All my friends ask me and worry about me because of all the access that I get, but I'm able to give it. Because I get it. You know what I'm saying? And even if I can't give it to you directly, it's somebody else I can, you know, refer you to or to funnel you to. Networking is huge. And it's the time and place for everything. And then it's people for everything too. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that I have somebody in my network who can just about do anything, that's wealth.
That's right.
When I ain't got a dollar in my pocket, I got a phone call I can make. You know what I'm saying? So that's super important to me.
Well, so I mean, like, so it sounds like, you know, a lot of people's like, I want to be famous, I want to be successful, right? And a big part of this whole podcast is how can we redefine success, right? And so specifically, while we have you on, right, success looks different in so many different spaces. It looks different.
Yeah.
Right? Literally. I'm in a suit. He's in a jersey.
Yeah.
You're in like, so it looks different, right? Yeah. And that's access.
Yeah.
Diversity in that access. But then secondary to that is like the fact that you get to cut that with the access that you have, the people that you cut, right? It's a secondary effect to how you build these relationships and being relatable.
Yeah.
Right? And so I guess my question is, with sort of your image, And most people is like, you know, I want to be in that space, but there's only one way to that. It's everyone needs a haircut, like you said.
Everybody needs a haircut.
So there's so many ways to get to the top.
Absolutely.
And so I'm interested to know, like, you know, talk to us really about the importance of the value you get. Mm-hmm. Because you could have stopped, right? Once you started cutting Herb or you started cutting Steph Curry, like, most people are like, I made it. Like, mm-hmm. What do I need to keep building for? Like, mm-hmm. I made it. What's your impetus to keep going? Like, the value you get from that? And how do you do it? Like, how do you be relatable?
Well, life just continues to turn. Like, I started cutting Derek. And, for example, I started cutting Derek. Cut him for years. Me and him had a great relationship. But he wasn't a social media type of person. So I wasn't able to draw. I wasn't able to promote myself through promoting his haircuts. Like, I wasn't able to say, like, oh, this is who I cut, this is such. I never posted him. The only stuff I posted of him was the commercial campaigns that we did with Adidas and Powerade and stuff like that. Like, the Bulls, like, I would post from those outlets, you know what I'm saying, not directly to him. I never felt like me and him had a conversation. The young lady that he introduced me to at the time, I was having this duality with being a fan of his and actually being his barber, like, and being close to him. And she reminded me, like, which one do you think is more valuable, actually having access to him or just being able to, like, go to a game or to cheer for him? Mm-hmm. I, like, definitely having access to him. So that's when I put my phone down. Like, it's not about capturing a picture of who I cut or whatever, but it's building off of who he is and what he can offer, like, just genuinely. You know what I'm saying? So I learned very early, like, dealing with celebrities. Everybody don't want somebody in their face. And I'm sure people will take a picture. But every time you snap a picture of somebody who really don't want to be snapped a picture of, like, even though that's their job, it takes away from that every time. So they're not looking at you like somebody they can really trust.
Right.
Or whatever. They're looking at you like, this is somebody who's trying to come up off of me. So just building, like, genuine relationships, like, just really kind of help that go along. I feel like learning how to kind of just parlay the value on was help. So I brought up Derrick Rose to say that this young lady who knew me through Derrick Rose introduced me to a dude, Michael Farber, who crafted and started up a social impact network. And I was cool. I'm thinking I'm at the pinnacle. I literally used to watch TV and say, I'm going to cut Derrick Rose one day. Like, that was the most notable figure I could think of in Chicago, mm-hmm. who was black, who I had access to. I literally manifested the situation. And when I got to him and he wasn't posting pictures, I'm like, I'm not growing. Like, my followers ain't up. Like, I cut Derrick Rose. My sister gave me, like, she reminded me, like, hey, you're not just Derrick Rose barber. Derrick Rose sought you out because of you were already who you were. So you didn't become who you are because you started cutting his hair. You were already him. Like, you was already that dude. So don't get lost in that. So that reminded me, like, let me think about this a different way. And what I realized was the relationship that I gained through Derrick Rose people is where I really started, like, getting value. So it wasn't the reception on social media. It was getting connected to somebody completely different. This white dude from D.C. who was doing some impact work in Chicago who connected me to more people than I ever would have thought. Mm-hmm. Like, now I know somebody in just about every city in the country that I can literally go crash on that couch. Like, people who build me up and give me access, who support me financially, spiritually, all types. You know what I'm saying? Breakout is the organization, but I've met people through that network who have served me way more than the pictures that I thought would have got me 10,000 followers. You know what I'm saying? So being authentic to who I was, somebody saw that while I was cutting Derrick. I'm thinking the hype was cutting Derrick, but somebody else saw, like, you way more than a barber. Like, your energy, your vibe is valuable, and you need to know this other guy. And the guy that I need to know he's birthed something else in me. Like, he's given me an opportunity to do way more than just be a barber. So he supported my platform. Now I do conversations. I facilitate on the Breakout platform. And it's just gone way past the Clippers. So I'm appreciative. Learning how to pivot and learning how to not just get stuck in titles, it's been probably my most valuable lesson. Because if I would have just stayed being a barber or just focusing on that title, I'll be looking for the next celebrity to cut. And I'll be, you know, my career be based on how they promote me. But now I can be under my own power and promote myself and by connecting myself to other great people.
So, like I said, like earlier on the show, right? You're one of the few people that I've probably met in life where I would say your energy is very contagious. Mm-hmm. Like,
appreciate that, bro.
We meet you. I met you. You know, I to be quite honest, I don't even, like, I'm working on it myself, trying to be more outgoing to people that I haven't connected with. Like, the whole idea of networking.
Yeah.
It's an art in itself. So we met you, we went to dinner that whole night, and I'm like, what is it about this dude that's making me, like, even want to be here right now? Like, and that night, I feel like, what, we were out to what? 11, 12 o'clock?
Yeah.
Like, we were
after we had started all day.
And I'm like,
1 p.m.
like, dinner. Bro.
That's right.
I'm like, bro, what?
All day.
What is keeping me wanting to be here right now and still be engaged? So I'm like, what do you think it is about you that, like, your energy is, like, is as contagious as it is, or it makes people want to be like, I need to connect with this person. I need to help this person or put them in the right place. Like you said, Michael Farber.
Even Derrick Rose, right? For him to seek you out.
Seeking you out and
I can answer that question, but I guess to be self-aware is also
from your perspective.
Important. I think being self-aware is a huge part of it, though. Mm-hmm. Like, understanding where your value is and what your strengths are. Like, it's a lot of things I'm not good at.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what I'm projecting, and that's not what I'm giving when I'm in a certain type of room. And I'm also not trying to be perfect either. I think being authentic to who you are.
Authenticity.
That's a word. Like, it's kind of hard to say, but it's legit. It's for real. Like, being authentic to who you are. Like, I cut one of the most popular drill rappers in the city. I grew up in a hood and was able to have my formative years were in the suburbs, so I'm not street at all. I know about the streets, I've seen it all, but that's not what I project. But for me and this dude to connect like that, like to really connect, is just based on us being authentic to who we are. And that's always gonna go over. That's always gonna connect. Like, when you just be solid and be authentic to who you are, that's always gonna relate to somebody. And what you realize is, for the people who it doesn't relate to, you just realize that that's not your community. And the quicker you can get to people who actually support what you do,
right,
you can streamline yourself to, like, where you need to be. You don't really need to be around people who don't support or understand you. You need to be around people who get you and who appreciate it. So, like, me being able to stay in rooms, me being able to speak for myself, for one, learning how to tell my story, accepting my story. It's easier to tell your story when you accept it. So accepting who I am, that makes it easier to be authentic to who I am. So that's what self-awareness is, knowing who you are, knowing your story. And once I learned to tell my story and just say who I am, where I came from, and to be able to talk about the things that I've experienced, like, people are interested in just that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not me talking about accolades. It's not talking about, like, what I've accomplished. It's just talking about where I've been, what I know. And if I don't have a place in the conversation, shut up.
Well, I mean, I think what's really interesting too is the fact that to be outgoing is an art, mm-hmm. right? Because to operate in your comfort zone is where we thrive as humans, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I know Khalil, we've known each other for 8 years. And when I go out, I can sit in my circle with Khalil and not meet a single person and be comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it take for you to go out and say, you know what, I have my people, but there's still so much more to learn? I think one thing that really stuck out from that panel
mm-hmm.
that you said was the amount of access that you get from just being open and receptive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, my man's literally broke it down by saying, we live in a world now where access is everything. I mean, to have the internet, to have books, I can get close
social
to
media.
I can get close to Diddy without knowing Diddy at
all. If Diddy got a book, if the, like, man, you can have a conversation with the person you admire, even if you don't like have a verbal conversation. Yeah. Like, you can have a mentor in somebody you've never met, but you just got to be intentional about it. Like, it's people who write books that tell you everything you would ask them
entire life. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all out there for you. You have to be intentional about going and find it. Mm-hmm. So once you have an idea of who you are and then what you want, then things start materializing and manifesting itself. Mm-hmm. Like, you start attracting situations that'll put you right where you need to be. Like, it's some important people I would like to know. I haven't gotten to the point where I'm in that space yet, but these people that I know, I can look up their videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I can see how they coming, what they talking about, how they carry themselves. And if it's something that I aspire to, I have a preset. I have a preface of where to start. You know what I'm saying? And like, now that I have an example of what I want, you know, what I want to be, I just kind of mold myself after that. You know what I'm saying? See how it feels. Try it on. You know what I'm saying?
Being a sponge, sucking it up. So, you know, we kind of touched base on, like, you know, kind of how you got to where you are now.
Yeah.
And when we were at dinner, I keep referencing this dinner because
it was a good dinner, bro.
It was a good time.
It was a fruitful time.
Yeah. Like, one of the few times where I feel like I've connected with people in the city, mm-hmm. and I feel like I actually took something from the conversation. Typically, yeah. It's like, when we got to a certain level of success, it's kind of hard to find people where you can continue to learn from.
Yeah.
And then, like, find people that can pour into you, yeah. as much as you probably pour into the individuals you're trying to bring with you. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, we connected at dinner. You mentioned, like, how you were trying to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the title of barber, you know, by trade. I'm trying to do all these different things.
Yeah, yeah.
You played the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to give too many details. I want you to touch base on that. But that game, bro, I'm trying to tell you, when you need that advertisement hitting me, because that was fire.
You know, no, so practically speaking, this podcast is all about the practical aspect. We mm-hmm. can talk about how to do things, why it's important, but we really need to break it down. You know what I mean? So that people can walk away from this with something tangible.
Yeah.
You know, and to feel something behind that. So with all that, like, I think we should run through one real quick.
Let's break it down.
Let's get into what it is, why you did it, and let's go through it, brother. Yeah.
So let me explain how this whole idea started.
Yeah.
Me being a barber, of course, I'm around people all the time.
All the time.
Me being a young man, a young black man coming up, looking for an example of what's the best version of a man that I can be?
Yeah.
I got direct access to a slew of men. Mm-hmm. So every day in my barbershop, I get to see, like, do I want to be like that? Or is that the right way to be? Or whatever. And now I have all these questions. Mm-hmm. So conversations come up in a barber seat, in a barber chair. I've gotten good at asking questions. But everybody doesn't want to be probed or interviewed when they're in the chair. Mm-hmm. So creating a space for people to have just common conversations, just like the same enthusiasm we have about talking sports. Like, I want to have, like, real life, what is a man type conversations in the barbershop. So I crafted this forum, much like the shop, like LeBron does.
Yeah.
I literally been doing that for six, seven years, mm-hmm. Before the shop even came to be. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing this, not looking for a platform, not looking for a claim or to be framed any type of way, but literally to have conversations and get my questions answered. So I started doing exercises to kind of warm people up to, like, answering questions. Like, how can I recreate that authenticity? How can I make you feel comfortable about the conversation and deep diving in a barbershop?
Yep.
Having a conversation that guys don't want to have all the time. Niggas don't want to talk about that type of stuff all the time.
Not all, they don't, but like,
I mean, they will appreciate it, but if I told you, hey, yo, we gonna have a real deep conversation. Come through.
It's like, man,
that's not hair, bro. Like,
I just came here for a favor.
Right. So the thing was, like, how can I, like, soft serve a soft pitch, mm-hmm. like, deep conversation?
That's right.
Because I'm looking for answers. You know what I'm saying? I need, it was self-serving. It was a little selfish on my part. But I want to be the best version of me. Right. And I see myself in some of the people who come through the barbershop. And I aspire to be like some of these guys who I think are important and who I think have value. So let me ask them questions or figure out a way to ask them questions so I can get the answers that I need. Mm-hmm. So after years of having this conversation, this one little exercise that I just popped in my brain one day, it just like kind of made things simple for me. So like having a simple entry point that's good in general for everybody is always a good way to have conversation. Something like humans walk down the street every day looking for a point that we can relate to another human about. So in the sense of conversation, let me make this question super simple and make it something that everybody can relate. Mm-hmm. So I started grouping three words together, like a series of three words, asking people how they felt about them. And I learned that the simplest things, like you can tell something about a person by how they answer questions and what matters to them, how they value things. So what I started doing was just having people order these three words, this series of words, having them order them so I could see how they felt about them. So I, for one, know who I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. Like, I just became self-aware a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, me asking you these questions, I want you to have the same joy in finding myself as I did. So I want to ask you this question so, for one, you have an opportunity to become aware of yourself, and then for me to be able to read what type of person I'm dealing with.
Right.
It's serving you. Hopefully, you feel inspired. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've never even heard yourself answer a question like this, but just a simple series of words. If I ask you guys, for example, Benz, Audi, Benz, Audi, BMW. BMW, Benz, Audi. Now, we all associating, like, it's pretty general, like, luxury vehicles. Right. But I want you guys to order them and tell me, like, with no particular reason why.
No judgment.
Like, no judgment. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you, like, what you should choose. I can't project my idea of what I think it should be. But you tell me in order, like, what they mean to you. Like, not what they mean to you, but, like, put them in order in the way you see them. Yep. Mm-hmm. Just put them in order. Benz, Audi, BMW.
Benz, Audi, BMW. I'll start. I would say BMW.
Okay.
Because that's what I drive.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in that thing. You feel me? I'm in that tank. You feel me? So I'm like, yeah. I've always been BMW. My first car I ever bought.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a piece of shit. Uh-huh. It was a piece of butthole. But it was my first car. I saved up all my money. 2002 325i BMW. I'll never forget it.
My man's bought a 1990 BMW just to have the logo.
F you.
So obviously this is first because it relates to you.
Nostalgia. I felt that. You know what I'm saying? So BMW is always gonna have a special place in my heart. Right. Then I'm gonna go with the Audi. Okay. Right. Audi, very clean car. I feel like when you whip an Audi, people feel you when you pull up.
Yeah.
But it's also not like, it's not a Porsche, it's not a Lamborghini, it's not that next level. Mm-hmm. But you feel Audis when people whip an Audi, you feel that when they come in, when they pulling up to the scene.
Yeah.
And then Benz, I put that last place because I feel like Benz, and this is just my personal opinion. Yeah. Don't get offended. All right, if you drive a Benz, I feel like Benz is just the car where when.
Nope, you're not gonna say it.
When people get money,
it's a statement piece.
Black people get money, it's a statement.
It's a status.
That's why I gotta go get a Benz. Like,
and I mean, I don't feel the same way, but I get it. Like, yeah. I identify with that. But the thing is, like, you have your reasoning for ordering the way you order. So, how does it make sense to you? Put them in order for you.
I'll do it real quick. I know we're running out of time. I mean, like, but for me, it's Audi. Mm-hmm. I think Beamer, and then Mercedes. And for me, it's because of the image I look to portray,
mm-hmm.
it being unique. You don't really see a lot of Audis, and when you do, it's very selective.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was shopping for one, like, it's hard to even find the exact model what you're looking for because they're very selective.
Yeah.
Even when you do see Audis, you don't see us behind them.
That's right. And mm-hmm. so I think just when you talk about access and just the image I look to portray,
mm-hmm.
I want it to be one of a kind. Mm-hmm. I want it to be where you have access to it,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be very intentional to get to that certain level.
You have to be intentional to buy an Audi.
That's facts.
Very intentional. Facts.
You can roll into it. Yeah, you can fall into getting a Benz because it's something brand wise that's pushing you towards that.
Accessible.
But you gotta kind of know, for one, you probably gonna know a little bit about an Audi before you just end up getting one.
Yep.
And that's the kind of culture that it is. It's like, it's a
did
little
your
bit.
Research a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah. So I totally understand. Now, we just talk about cars. Three cars that everybody know, but I really just learned a lot about you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So now I know how to approach you.
Yep.
Now I know a little bit more about you. And now I can kind of, like, identify myself and how I fit. You know what I'm saying? Understanding what I do about you guys now. So, like, just using something as simple as that. Like, I've made over 400 series of three questions, three words, from sex, drugs, alcohol, how you will order them, from God, family, money, how you will order them.
We had that conversation.
Yeah, and once you release yourself, like, once you give yourself grace, once you honestly try to answer the questions for yourself, like, how do I really order? In what context am I putting it in? Am I doing it because this is what I'm supposed to say? Am I ordering because this is how I really feel? Am I ordering because it's like ordering by value? Or is it all, is it supposed to be like this linear thing, or is it on a spectrum?
It's individual.
Like it could be just individual. Like it's a lot of different reasons we answer questions, but me even understanding how you process your answer lets me understand how you think, how you process. So I'm really learning about you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, we're looking forward to when you release that.
Yeah, when you coming out the game, hey, brother?
The game. The game is coming soon.
Say, I'm ready. I like...
No, nah, for real. I mean, I'll say this real quick. I think it's super important to understand who you are. Mm-hmm. I think even if you were just to look at the cards or the three words and answer for yourself, you can hear yourself recite how you really feel about stuff. Mm-hmm. For other people who are answering, you get to hear how they feel. But I think it's about understanding who you're in a room with. Some people you already think you know. I think the game would be great for, like, people you think you already know, because you get to learn the nuance. Like, you get to learn the little details and subtleties that make these people tick. And for the people who you don't know at all, you get this fast track to who they are. So, yeah. The game is coming, for sure.
I can't wait, honestly.
Give me a week. I'm moving. Like, I literally have people, like, charging me and pressing me to, like, dude.
I'm about to say, bro, I can't wait, because I told you, I'm gonna help with the advertising when you need it.
Oh, I'm putting it in my notes.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna help with advertising when you need it, and I definitely need the game myself. That's a great party gift. But as you know, you all probably seen, we like to end every episode with a toast to life.
To success,
reshaping the idea of what success looks like in our communities.
I love that, man. I love that, like, we get to give each other a little bit of grace when we start talking about success, because I feel like as young Black men, we've had this one idea of what that is.
Because they put us in a box, man.
I mean, to the point, now it's us putting ourselves in
right.
a box.
I mean, I think to that point, right, we are the pen of our story. We're the author of our own story.
Yeah.
So how we define success is completely up to us.
Yeah.
So this toast is a toast of success. And honestly, I'm going to leave it up to you. When you hear success, how would you define that?
Success is what you can imagine in actually attaining your vision. Like, being able to be intentional about your vision is success to me.
Period.
Like, you literally going after your vision is what success is for me. That can look like
anything. We're after the vision.
Look, toast to manifestation, toast to going to execution.
And lifting as we climb.
Amen.
Okay, lifting as we climb.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers, bro.
Definitely.
Yep.
What you dream, yeah. Sapphire Bombay, only what you think, yeah. Looks like we'll be tied up for 2 weeks.